640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. 67 people have died in Maui's wildfires. The Hawaii's Attorney General's office says that it will be conducting a comprehensive review of decision-making and policies leading up to, during, and after the wildfires. This as Kula residents who have running water are warned not to drink it and take short showers. CBS's Jonathan Vigliani in Lahaina.
But with a death toll now in the dozens and so many still unaccounted for, the agony grows. We met this man searching the charred rubble for his friends and coworkers.
Yeah, they live like somewhere around here because you cannot recognize the place anymore.
Have you heard from them since the fire struck?
No. Since that day, I can't get rich like or call them.
The Red Cross needs hundreds of volunteers to help out with relief efforts in Hawaii.
The Red Cross of Northern California has assigned nearly 24 people to Hawaii to help out with the worst natural disaster in that state's history.
This is going to be a huge operation. It's going to go on for a while.
Red Cross spokesperson Jenny Arrieta says their number one objective is providing shelter.
So we have thousands of people that have been displaced. We also have a lot of tourists that have been displaced. They're trying to get back home. So our priority is making sure those people have a safe place to stay.
Evacuation centers are being set up at schools, churches, and convention centers. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland appoints David Weiss, the U.S. attorney in Delaware, to serve as special counsel in the Hunter Biden probe. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
Hunter Biden thought that he was going to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax fraud charges. He thought that there was going to be a separate diversion case for a gun charge, and that all fell apart.
The federal judge in the January 6th case says she will issue a protective order that will set rules for former President Trump. CBS legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
What they're talking about now is exactly who can see materials, whether or not the former president can just see evidence from the government or actually take possession of it, and what qualifies as sensitive information that cannot be disclosed to the public.
It could be the middle of next week before school resumes in Louisville, Kentucky's largest school system after a transportation meltdown. CBS's Jim Crisula reports.
The second and third days of school were canceled after a disastrous overhaul of the transportation system that prevented some kids from not getting home until 10 p.m. opening day. Marty Polio is Louisville school superintendent.
Quite candidly, we should have anticipated those problems better than what we did, and we did not do that. And once again, I say that's on me.
The Louisville school system had made major changes to school bus routes and school start times because of a shortage of bus drivers.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Cut. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. And it's like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Recorded.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut
Indian. Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Friday, and it's State Senator Mary Kunish and Wendy Day here on Native Roots Radio, and we're always really happy to have the State Senator on and talk about what's going on around locally and nationally and just what's happening. So welcome to Native Roots Radio, State Senator.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to be back with you after 1 week.
Yes, it is, definitely. I just had myself on mute there. So we got a beautiful day going on here. We haven't had too much pollution from the fires up north, but man, oh man, do we have stuff happening in Hawaii, our 50th state, and it's devastating to see what's going on down there, State Senator.
Oh my gosh, you know, I had my granddaughter overnight, and she woke up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and she just thought she was, it was the beginning of her day. So I brought her in my bed, and I'm like trying to get her to go back to sleep. And I turned on the radio, and I was listening to the, you know, like live, the horror of what was going on there. And it just, I mean, when you're on an island, where do you go to get away from anything? And the fire was like so ferocious. I mean, that's how they were describing it, you know, ferocious, you know, just ravaging the island, and people just having no option to go anywhere. And so, I think we're all feeling, you know, the pain of losing all of those people, but also the devastation of the community that was extremely historic, and some of the historic buildings and the antiquated items are gone now, and there was no way to save them in time. So that on top of the human loss, which is absolutely horrible, and then homes and businesses, but also the archaeological losses that are going to make I think a difference in the long run.
Yeah, it's a bummer, and it's really sad too. And I just got to remind everyone too that Hawaii and the islands predated all the settlers that are out there too. And they've had kings and queens that ruled those islands for thousands and thousands of years. And our hearts are out to them too, because this is their land.
this is their land. And, you know, they said it just started so quickly, and the winds from the hurricane just, you know, stoked those fires. I guess one of the things, you know, we here in Minnesota have been complaining and have had the effects of the smoke from Canada this summer, but a lot of the people there are saying that were injured or died due to smoke inhalations.
Oh.
And I mean, that by itself, I can only imagine would be just a horrible, horrible way to go. But from what I understand, President Biden, you know, like jumped on it. He approved a disaster. He declared it a disaster area right away so that they can get those federal dollars and they can begin the recovery efforts for those areas. But I mean, how do you fix a small island like that? And when you look at the pictures, it's just really horrifying.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, State Senator, because I think I kind of got the vibe that because they were talking about so many people jumping into the water during the fires too, and had seen people jumping in the water and then losing track of their spouses. And it's just been really sad. And we're probably going to have Kalea Kelly, who's lives down in Hawaii, on our next show next week to stop in. And she's on the Big Island, but I see there's fires on the Big Island too. I just, yeah, the wind and the global warming and all those things, State Senator, it's just that time again.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this is due to climate change. And, you know, while we're importing, you know, exotic plants and those sort of things here into, you know, onto the mainland, they've also done that on the islands and brought in a lot of vegetation that wouldn't, you know, is not indigenous to those areas. And those grasses especially are the things that that just caught fire and passed the fire along so very quickly.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, we're talking about, and nothing comparable right now, because we've been in a couple years of drought here in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But wow, I mean, we're not that far behind either when it comes to these fires coming up in the with the global warming and all that. So it's pretty green right now, I believe. And we're not in that point right now, but I do believe it's like the second year of drought here in Minnesota. I look at the Mississippi and it's way, way, way down. Yes.
Muted myself and then couldn't unmute myself. Yes, we are again in a drought, and it's been a couple of year drought. Don't do that here. From what I understand, and yesterday again, I was at one of those farm and agriculture conferences, and they were talking about accessing wells and accessing water for irrigation for their crops, and then of course how to ensure that the animals are getting the water and those sort of things that they need. But I have to say, I am once again so impressed with this farm family that hosted our meeting, Janskys in St. Augusta. The two sons are taking it over. It's a four-generation farm. And the two young men that are taking it over are looking at, you know, the natural regenerative ways to farm and not just plowing up the field every year, and it destroys the soil and, you know, allows the soil to blow away, but having that ground cover on there and then planting on top of it. And I mean, they're able to prove it time and time again that that's the way to do it. And when we look at the indigenous way of agriculture, that's exactly it. So I have to bite my tongue sometimes when I want to say, hey, look to your indigenous people if you want to figure out how to best take care of the lands and how to, you know, help the Mother Earth be most productive. So the drought is real, and our groundwaters and our aquifers are low, the rivers are low, but I don't know about you. We got a heck of a good storm last night. And if we can get those evening storms coming through, the rain, I think we'll be okay.
Well, I got to ask Wendy, because I sleep through all these things and she's a light sleeper. So I'll have to
ask. I think you're on mute, Robert.
I'll have to ask Wendy. Did you hear
Where's
me?
Where's my mug?
I've got you, Robert. I heard you. Oh,
I can't hear either of you now. Sorry.
Oh, well, you're over there pounding on buttons here. So we got a minute left here. And why don't you send a state senator a little message that she might have muted us accidentally. So why don't we take a quick break here? We're with State Senator Mary Kunish, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Stay with us. Ah, got you there. Haley's still happy from the Pink concert last night, we see. So we'll be right back. Ho-wa.
Can you hear me?
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at aira.io. That's AIRA.io.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? You really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067. Or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
There really is no place like home. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Home Health. When you're faced with an illness or an injury, being able to stay at home and receive care is important. Our home health offers a wide range of services, including skilled nursing, physical, occupational, and speech therapies, AIDS, homemakers, in-home respite care, and 24/7 live-in care. We'll work closely with your primary care provider to come up with an individualized plan for you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and her grandchildren in the background. We love the little ones, and it's great to have the state senator on. And we just like kicking back, and especially when we're not in session, talk about the good things that are happening. But one of the things I'd love to talk to you about is there's some things happening media-wise, State Senator, and some good and some interesting things. What's your take? I'd like you to see what you're thinking about.
Well, I actually just finished the first series in Dark Winds. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that one, I just finished the first one and watched the first episode in the second one.
So did you see who wrote that?
Is it the
Rihanna Yazzie wrote it, and she's a local with New Native Theater. She wrote wrote the Dark Winds new season opener.
Wow. Well, I guess I didn't know that, but it was excellent. Mm-hmm. She is really, really coming into her own. I have to say that. I just heard so many incredible, you know, things about her, people talking about her and the performances that she puts together. And mm-hmm. There's one coming up. Shoot, I wish I could remember. Oh, at St. Kate's, there's one coming up in the fall. It's called The Aunties. And it's stories from Native women, the aunties. And I think Rhiannon Yazzie is part of that as well. Mm-hmm. And the guy who's producing it is working with her. So there's that going on. Reservation Dogs, you know, that's happening right now. So I have to kind of remember which channels these are all on. Yeah. And I have one TV that gets Apple TV so I have to like drag a chair into the kitchen where there's this little TV that's the only one in my house that will get Apple TV. I have old televisions, as you can imagine. And but I haven't seen this movie, Oppenheimer. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I've read a lot of good things about the movie, but I've also read some things that maybe we all need to remember.
Right. Here in Minnesota, we have a number of nuclear plants.
Yeah.
And there's one right down on Prairie Island, right mm-hmm. on the river, you know, literally yards from the community. Mm-hmm. And while they say it's safe, you know, there are a lot of storage. There's the spent cases of the spent nuclear energy. Mm-hmm. And those are down there. We've talked about that at the legislature about should we expand nuclear energy in Minnesota? A lot of people say, yes, it's the cleanest, it's the cheapest. But my question is like, where are you going to store all that radioactive stuff?
Right.
You want it in your backyard? and historically, those kind of things have been stored in the remote, barren, you know, far from people, such as in this movie. But oftentimes it's on Indian reservations because, it's so remote and, it actually is really taking advantage of the poverty of our tribes and the reservations, because if it was a way to get money for their people, they agreed to it. And I don't think they understood the toxicity of the uranium. So in this movie, Oppenheimer, and I haven't seen it, but I read a lot about it, and I've heard a lot of discussion about how once again the Navajo people, who probably have the most negative and far-reaching side effects, were it wasn't covered in this movie at all.
And, well, you have the nuclear fallout from them testing the bombs. There was 50 years of illness and sickness down there afterwards, at least.
Right. And from what I read, this started back in the 1940s and went into the 90s. And, the country used Navajo Nation, pulling that uranium out for nuclear weapons and energy. And then what do you do with all the tailings and all of that sort of thing? So, of course, the federal government was negligent in transferring and moving that and storing the spent material carefully. And so now there's over 500 abandoned mines down in Navajo lands. In the day and probably even now, the folks that lived there and the people that worked there drank the mines, the spring water. They washed their clothes in that. They let their kids play outside. Oftentimes it was on some of that uranium debris.
Yeah.
And even though the government knew that there was danger in it, They did not pass that information on to the tribes, and they did not have the resources that the tribes need, Navajo Nation needed to protect themselves. And so, of course, there were long-lasting, devastating health issues that continue today. And, you know, it's like cancer, kidney trouble, women not able to carry children, all of those things. It's just terrible. But that wasn't covered in the movie at all.
So the history is important to things like these. And again, great example, as you were just saying, and people in Indian country have been talking about, again, being left out. And so really interesting point, you know. So it's hard for me to go watch it and support this just because of those reasons, State Senator.
Right. Yeah. And it's just so important to remember and continue to remind people that our Indigenous people, because we were pushed out into the most remote, barren areas where the governments thought, oh, there's nothing out there, so we might as well give them this, you know, piece of crap land. You know, there is all kinds of mineral underneath. And now that, you know, now that they're discovering, well, it's not now, but they've been discovering that for decades now. And then they come back, like what they did at Bear's Ears and that sort of thing, like, oh, all of a sudden, we want those lands and we want access to those lands and here's some money for it. And so I am hoping that if it's one thing that we've learned as Native folks is there's more in general, there's more harm done when you accept compensation for the mineral rights that's underneath, because historically they just haven't taken care of the land during or afterwards. And then it's the people that live there, the tribal members that still live on the land that wreak the havoc of the side effects.
Hey, the other side of that is, State Senator, we got we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and the other side of that is the blue the flowers, the book that's coming out into a movie here in pretty soon with Leonardo and a Native cast, and Martin Scorsese's done, and how they became one of the richest groups of people was that they had a smart lawyer saying that they did own the minerals and the air. And I'm sure you read that book because you're an avid reader that came out 3-4 years ago.
And yeah. Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes.
That book. Oh my gosh. That is absolutely riveting. Mm-hmm. And the movie I think is due out soon. I don't know exactly when, but if you're able to in any way read it before the movie comes out, because there's a lot of background information around that. And while they had a really good lawyer, the tribal members still got the short end of the stick. And I mean, by that, they were killed off.
Right.
And it's about the Osage murders, and it's the birth of the FBI because of this trend of the serial murdering of Osage members who held the land and the mineral rights and were making, you know, hand over fist, you know, these non-Native, especially the women, non-Native men would come and marry the women, and then they'd kill off the women. And then they'd inherit it. So that's another movie I am really, really looking forward to.
Better get that Apple TV going. Better buy some Roku and plug that baby in.
I have Roku, but I don't know why. I don't know if it's I have an old Roku, you know, little contraption or whatever, but it's just, I'll get around to it.
We'll talk during the break. Okay. Hey, so one of the things, we got a minute left here and we really wanted to jump. Do you mind if we jump deep into, not spoiler alerts, but talk a little bit more about reservation dogs?
Let's do that. I'm sad to know that this is the last series of the series, but who knows what'll spin off.
Exactly, and that's what we're hoping. Good things. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish. Wendy's coming up.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Hawaii's governor says the town of Lahaina is gone and at least 67 people have died. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Officials are now confirming of all of the bodies they have recovered so far, all of them are of people who were desperately trying to flee on foot. There was panic. And tonight there's a mounting question. Why was this community not evacuated sooner?
All due to the wildfires. U.S. Attorney David Weiss is the special counsel in the Hunter Biden probe. CBS's Catherine Harris.
Responding to the special counsel announcement, Hunter Biden's attorney said, "We expect a fair resolution, not infected by politics."
The federal judge in the election conspiracy case against former President Trump warns of restraints to what he can discuss. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The judge did decide with the government that things like grand jury materials and other sensitive information would have to remain confidential, or at least only used by a limited number of the defense team.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to the Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system.
Is at the gallery next Thursday at 1414 East Franklin Avenue. August 17th from 5 to 7, but hurry because spots are limited and up to 15 participants only.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hurry up, everybody. So, hey, we're winding down here on our little talk here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we were kind of left off at we were talking a little bit about reservation dogs and how sad we are about the final season here. And it still is a show that's doesn't disappoint, whether it's a real serious show about our the people following us, that are watching over us, our relatives, or Just funny how they talk with Uncle Brownie and his marijuana and all those things. It's just been a really big pleasure. And, you know, we all have, we Reservation Dogs has roots here in Minnesota with Dallas Goldtooth and, of course, Bobby Wilson, who was a student of mine at Harding High School back in the day. And so we're really happy and excited and grateful for their work. But this last show, there was a couple things about this last show. And one of the things for me, State Senator, was that it was very, very emotional about boarding schools, but it was also with the little trickster, shapeshifter, slant to it too, that, we as natives have been talking about for thousands of years.
I think you are talking about the deer woman.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was a very difficult, episode to watch because, you know, it's interesting because they did give a warning, you know, right, when it started that this is going to be dealing with the boarding school issue. And of course, there's people that are alive today that were in boarding schools, that were forced into boarding schools. I mean, there are a lot of Native kids that were educated in boarding schools. Some didn't have such a bad experience, but many had, you know, horrendous, horrendous experience. And, you know, in this one, of course, there was the young girl who was, you know, taken back from her family and made a close connection to another student there. And then something very tragic happened with that student. And then later on, the deer woman shows up in the to take some of vengeance. And it really, the fact that they focused on the deer woman, I think is really, really important.
Yeah. And, you know, the cutting of the hair, the abuse of our children, and really bizarre how they made the nuns sound, their voice sound. That was very kind of scary and kind of maybe from our young ones' ears kind of translated, right?
Yeah, like I was like, what are they saying? What language are they speaking? I mean, that's what I was thinking in my head when I heard it. And it wasn't until later I thought, oh, I wonder if that even was a language. But, you know, I've been, you know, in a situation where I'm the only English person and there are some other, you know, everybody else is speaking a foreign language. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, and how isolating and confusing and, you know, just how hard it is to keep your own individuality in that. And then when there is such brutal abuse, it's horrible. I think I've shared with you my grandfather's, my grandfather did not go to, was not sent to a boarding school, but his brothers were. Mm-hmm. And, they were sent out to Carlisle in Pennsylvania from South Dakota. And they, you know, my uncle tried time and time again. He ran away and you can get into Carlisle's records. And, you know, there's a card that shows, you know, sort of like a discipline card where it says running, running, running. So he tried to run away a number of times. And it wasn't until he jumped a train, fell off, and had his leg cut off that they let him go home. Yeah. That's, you know, every family has a story. Every family carries that genetic history with them. And this show, this episode, made it very, very real.
Well, and not only that, a lot of trauma is handed down generation to generation. And, you know, there's when you're stuck in a school like that and not loved, you can't, you know, show love or afraid to show love. And it's been going on for generations and generations. My Gaga was in a boarding school, I think, for a few days, and her father my great-grandfather, Howard McKee Jr., went and stole her back. So there's all these kinds of family stories and that, you know, are traumatic in so many ways. And if you don't deal with trauma, we know what happens. It gets handed down, but also never gets, the cycle's never broken. One of the things I thought was interesting, State Senator, too, is that they had an elder there talking to the young actors and talking about what they were going through and smudging them off and praying with them before they did those scenes. I don't know if mm-hmm. it's pictures, but that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible how they made sure to protect the actors and the people that were involved, because, you know, I'm sure you too, when you've gone through a traumatic situation or you're like so beyond upset about something, the act of smudging and bringing mm-hmm. yourself back into it. But one thing I thought about when you were talking about your Gaga and how the grandparent or the parent came and got mm-hmm. took the child, you know, for a lot of families, if you did not like give up a kid, sacrifice a kid, the state government, the federal government would withhold food and clothing and supplies, money that was supposed to come to them. I mean, all kinds of horrible stuff would happen if you didn't let your kids go, you know, if you didn't send your kid. And it was terrible because parents had to choose maybe between the starvation of their family, their, you know, the other kids and themselves, or send a child to boarding school. And, you know, I can't imagine what that would be like for a parent to have to make, you know, that decision at all. And, you know, these are the things that we still are dealing with today.
Yeah, you know, and to educate our allies out there that, you know, we just didn't, you know, the things that may be disturbing to people about us, whether it's our diabetes rate or our incarceration rate or these things that are negative on our people, there's a reason before that. That just didn't happen, you know, and there's a traumatic and trauma-based reason for a lot of our foibles that that over the years we need to break that cycle, and there's many ways doing it. And I think people and our allies are really realizing the fact that that you can't blame the victim, so to speak. You know?
Right. Yeah, and I think I've shared that when I was a youngster, my dad worked a lot with tribes up north, and he would take us with him when he would go up there. And this was before the casinos came in and there was a real viable way of building income or wealth for the tribes. And back then, homes were just like sheds out in the middle of nowhere, and there was dirt roads and no water, no electricity. And you know, I like I said, we came from this really big family, so there was never enough money no matter what. We thought, you know, in some ways that we were kind of poor, we didn't have a lot, but you know, the deprivation out there, and we're like, why do they live like that, and why do they live, you know, there? And that was the first time my dad told us about how the government would come through and take the kids. So they would, you know, if somebody was coming down the road and they didn't know who they were, the kids would scatter into the woods, right, so that if it was somebody coming to grab them, they wouldn't find them. And that's, you know, that was when I was growing up, so it's not so far away.
Exactly. And speaking of which, Mary, today is the anniversary and the 45th anniversary, the date today of the passing of the Religious Act. And that's a thing. I was watching people's posts on Facebook about that, and they couldn't believe how not that long ago it was. I mean, I was a junior in high school when that law came in, or going to be a senior.
Yeah, I mean, it was illegal to practice the indigenous spirituality or religion, so to speak. It was illegal to do Sundance or any of the, you know, even to sweat, you know, do a sweat along right. those lines. And there were serious repercussions. It wasn't like they just turned the, you know, like, oh, that's just an old law. We don't really have to pay attention to it. Oh, no, they paid attention and they there were consequences.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It was it looks like it was in Jimmy Carter's presidency that that bill was signed. But I think what is interesting is Nixon, who was a Quaker, brought up as a Quaker, pushed a lot of these good laws for Indians because he grew up around Native Americans, and the Quakers and Natives were pretty tight back then. So it's always weird and interesting to see the bedfellows that some of these historical people have had with us Natives and other people.
Well, look at the decision for ICWA.
Yeah.
Who would have thought those judges would make the statements and vote the way they did? So it's good to know that every now and then we get a foot up, a hand up.
Exactly. Hey, thanks, State Senator. We're talking to State Senator Mary Kunish. And up next, Wendy Pilot with our Sacred Animal section. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at AIRA.io. That's AIRA.io.
Your neighbors are talking about the Blue Line Extension, connecting North Minneapolis, Crystal, Robbinsdale, and Brooklyn Park to the light rail transit system.
The Blue Line allows us to actually connect people in real time to this community. Instead of bypassing it, they're going to stop and shop. They're going to stop and play. They're going to stop and work. Blue Line is a connector.
Hear more of this story and others at yourblueline.org.
AM 950 Radio is celebrating Minnesota Broadcasters Week of Kindness by highlighting organizations that work tirelessly to strengthen our democracy. This week, we shine a spotlight on Isaiah Minnesota, a multiracial, statewide, nonpartisan coalition of faith communities fighting for racial and economic justice in Minnesota. This year, they were instrumental in the 20-year struggle to expand the democratic voices of our community. The hard-fought battle culminated in securing the right to vote for 55,000 Minnesotans living on probation or parole. In a triumphant year at the state legislature, that wasn't the only goal Isaiah saw accomplished. Some of the groundbreaking victories included paid time off for all eligible voters on Election Day and throughout the 46-day early voting period, along with 16- and 17-year-olds pre-registration for voting. Isaiah's vision for a more inclusive and empowered democracy materialized in these momentous changes. Find out more about what Isaiah Minnesota is working on next to strengthen our democracy by visiting isaiahmn.org. That's isaiahmn.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
That's a strong howl. And then the cat howled in the background. Did you hear that?
I did.
So we're going to do our sacred animal section here, Wendy, and I was just wondering if how that is working out for the squirrel toupee.
The squirrel toupee, and they used, what did they use to glue the hair?
Some sap from a tree.
Sap from the tree.
I have to go back out there. So whoever was not listening yesterday, while I was on the radio here, Wanda, my little black dog, Wanda sits next to me, and I kind of gave her a haircut as we were on the air, and she was really good and let me cut her hair because she normally doesn't. So I gathered like a whole big handful of hair, and I put it in a sewer like a little grate, like, I don't know, what do you call it? Like a grate. It's like a little cage that you put the sewer in for the birds, but that was empty. So I just put the dog hair in it because I've read about that birds will go and use that hair
for toupees.
No, for their nest. So we were joking yesterday. Robert was joking about the birds are going to make little toupees with the black hair.
And I said, Wendy, you're laughing. And she said, well, you're funny. And
you have new material.
New material. Yeah.
I've been listening to the same material for 23 years here. So. Robert asked me one day, well, you don't laugh at me anymore. I said, hey, you need new material.
I said, you don't think I'm funny anymore or something like that. Yeah. Or no, you used to be funny was your answer. Oh, I can't remember my question was.
Used to be funny. I need new material.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy, the comedian critic and also animal advocate for many, many years. Hey, introduce yourself. I'm taking away valuable time here.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Hey, my name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And today's Friday, so we're going to do Fun Fact Friday. And I've been working off this one site, and it's called the hashtag fact site, and it's 300 random animal facts. And we started at 300 and we're working our way to number one, and we're on 111 where we left off last time, I think.
Where did you get those fun facts that weren't so fun that one?
I don't remember.
It was a different place.
Yeah, it was a different site. I just Googled like right before the show some fun facts about animals, and it was Friday. Usually they're funny, lighthearted
or interesting
things and interesting. Yeah, as these are. But this one was kind of doom and gloom. Like each fact was like a bad fact. And I was like, oh, no, I should have read this before I got on the air. But yeah,
they were getting worse
too. You learn from your mistakes. But 111, a rodent's teeth never stop growing.
The weasel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's one. I forgot this one. This is 112. Oh. When a young abalone, you know what an abalone is?
Or albino abalone. Horse?
Abalones feed on red seaweed. Their shells turn red. So an abalone is kind of like an oyster or a clam, and they have like a bumpy shell. Yeah, and they're kind of like a snail that lives inside the shell, but their shell is more like an oyster kind of shell. Yeah, but when they feed on red seaweed, their shells turn red.
Wow, that's just like us drinking too much red Kool-Aid when we were younger.
Yeah. Exactly. We weren't allowed to have Kool-Aid. My mother wouldn't let us have it because it had too much sugar in it. The word peacock doesn't actually apply to both the male and female birds. It's only the male that are called peacocks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to even comment on that.
While the females are called peahens.
Peahens.
Yeah. Peahens. I have my own jokes
like a
going on over here.
P-E-A hens.
I have my own jokes going
on
over here.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. It takes 3,000 cows. Oh, I don't know if I want to know about this one.
Okay, go to the next one.
Yeah, we'll go to the next one.
Fun facts.
Wow, that's a bad fact. I'm going to say it anyway.
No.
No?
Okay.
It takes 3,000 cows to supply the NFL with enough leather for the year's supply of footballs. Seriously, they need to start making the footballs out of something else. I hate that fact. I'm vegan, so I don't eat any
footballs
or anything. I try my best not to use any animal products whatsoever.
You do well.
Yeah, but you know, in England, I'm going off the path here, but England, you know, the guards,
and you've become an expert.
The guards that have those big furry black,
the Royal Guards,
each one of those is one bear.
So do they reuse them or do they kill a bear for a new soldier?
I don't know how that works, but each one of those hats is a bear.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I see them marching by, I'm like, that's not the Royal Guards. That's 300 bears. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Only half of a dolphin's brain sleeps at a time. The other is awake. The other awake half makes the dolphin come up for air when needed to prevent drowning. So only the one half of the brain is asleep and the other half is awake. The awake part of the brain of the dolphin makes it breathe, because a dolphin can only stay underwater for like 20 minutes and then it drowns. So if it's sleeping, it needs the half of the brain that's awake to go get it air.
I got it. That's funny. Cute that you're explaining.
Robert's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
She's really explaining that. That's awesome.
Hummingbirds. Robert loves hummingbirds. Hummingbirds beat their wings 60 to 80 times per second.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
The average length of an anteater.
Aardvark.
Is around 6.5 feet. What? Although about half of this is their long, bushy tail.
So with their tail, they're 6 feet long. They're as tall as I am if they were standing from tail to nose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Listen to this fun fact. Oysters can change from one gender to another and back again, depending on which is best for mating.
Hmm.
Hmm. At birth, a panda is smaller than a mouse and weighs about 4 ounces.
I know. I've seen those.
They're so cute. And you'd think that they'd be bigger because pandas are pretty big.
Right.
Yeah. They're very cute.
Just like kind of a kangaroo kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. The placement of eyes on a donkey enables them to see all four of their legs at a time.
Really?
I guess they need to see their legs when they're walking. I don't know.
I like to look at my arms when I'm lifting weights.
When do you do that?
Exactly. Once a year. A python can swallow a rabbit whole and may eat as many as 150 mice in a 6-month period. Yeah.
That was a fun fact from Wendy Pilot.
A haw. Haw is the third eyelid of a cat, which can only be seen when the cat isn't well. You okay. Better look at that and make sure we can't see Lucy's haw. Right? Haw. It's the third eyelid. So also if we see that, then we know that the cat's not well.
That's also what an eagle says. Mm-hmm. Haw.
Elephants are covered with hair. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just for men.
Listen to this one. A whale's heart beats only 9 times per minute.
It's probably a big old heart to be pumping.
Bum, bum. Bum, bum.
Oh, that's more than a minute.
Oh, I just lost my spot. Are we almost done? I lost my spot.
Well,
I don't know. I think we were on like 1:15 or something
like that, but
I could just dogs can see better when the light is low.
Me, well, that's Wanda, the opposite of me.
We'll take you at walk right sunset.
Yeah. Hey, Wendy, I want to thank the State Senator Mary Kunish for being on.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And Haley for making it. She didn't go on tour with Pink, so
unfortunately.
Yeah. She's still with us, and Wendy Pinigigi for always with some fun facts on Friday. We're still here. We are the 7th generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
See you Monday.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.